Okay, we're at Kaf Dalet Amud Bet, the very end of the third to last line. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. B'chol yom v'yom bat kol yotzeit v'omeret. Okay, we had started with a little bit before. There was a story about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, which we actually had seen in Yom already, about how he prayed for rain to stop for him on the way home, and then when he got home, he said, pray for the rain to come back for everybody else. It goes a little against what we saw that you're not allowed to ask for the rain to stop, but maybe what he was doing was just temporary and therefore was okay. Or, you know, again, different misorot, different ideas about whether you can or can't. Because remember, in the two different Choni versions also, there were two, whether you can, you shouldn't ask for rain to stop, but then he did in the end anyway. And how you look at that. Okay, so now we're going to hear a whole bunch of Chanina ben Dosa stories. Okay, it was obviously some important, also had powers, you know, to pray, and his prayers would get answered. B'chol yom v'yom bat kol yotzeit v'omeret kol ha'olam kulo nizom b'shvil Chanina b'ni. Okay, so a bako comes down and says, the whole world gets sustenance because of his spook. But now we're going to learn something interesting about him. Despite the fact that the whole world is getting parnasa due to him, he, though, would suffice with one carob for one kav of carob for an entire week. Okay, so despite the fact, here's an interesting thing, right? You often see this with where the shoemaker's shoes go barefoot, right? His schut was enough to give everybody food, but he himself had no food. Now we're going to see a story about it. Habarichla debitu, his wife, would usually lemechma tanura kol malei deshabta. She would fire up her oven every erev Shabbat. B'shadya aktarta mishum kisufa. She would put at you can have this. It's just that picture. When we get to it, you'll show. Okay. I want to show people. Every erev Shabbat, she would light up her oven and put up smoke in it. In other words, she would put up something that would make smoke go up. Why? Mishum kisufa, she was embarrassed. She didn't want people to know that she had no bread to bake for Shabbat. So she put up her, she put her tanur going so that people would think so. Hava lahach shivivata bishta. She had this woman, this neighbor. How do they translate bishta?
Bad.
Okay. A bad neighbor. Amra, michte adana delait lehu velomidi. I know that they have nothing in their house. My kulehai, so what's all this smoke going? Azla v'tarfa abava, she goes and knocks on her door. Ichsefit, so she's embarrassed, va'ayla le'indrona, okay, which was an inner room. So she goes into this inner room in her house. It's avad le'nisa, a miracle happens, dechazi le'tanur malei lachma, va'agna malei lisha. A miracle happens and her tanur becomes full of bread and her kneading bowl becomes full of dough. Okay, you wonder, in order to save her from embarrassment, God makes a miracle and she gets food. But on a normal day-to-day basis, so that they should have food to eat, she doesn't, right? Like, it's interesting what people can handle and what people can't handle. They could handle not eating, but they couldn't handle people knowing about the fact that they weren't eating. And God recognizes that and only, right, doesn't, let's use the word, doesn't use up the miracles on that, but he used up the miracles on the things that they really need. Amrala, planita, she says, ploni, the woman who, the neighbor, the bad neighbor, says to her, ploni, whatever, she doesn't call her by name, it's interesting. Aite masa de kacharich lachmech, go bring the tool that you use to take the bread off the oven. Remember, there was, the bread sticks to the side of the oven, there was a special way to take it off. Go bring that tool, that's called the masa, de kacharich lachmech, because your bread is burning. Amrala, af ana lahachi ayala. Oh, that's why I went inside to go get that. Tana, another version says, af hi lahavi mirda nechnesa, mipnesha milumedi benisim. Some people say that when she went into the inner room, when the woman knocked at the door, it wasn't because she was embarrassed. It was because she went to get the thing to the kli, to take the bread off, because she knew that a miracle was going to happen and she was going to be saved and then she was going to need it to go take care of the bread. Amrale debitu. Now the wife says to her husband, to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, Ad ema nezel v'nitztar, kule hai. How long are we going to suffer like this? Amrala, maini avid. What can I do? So she says, Bai rachame dinet v'lach midi. You can ask for rachamim, that's something that you'll get something. Bai rachame. Okay, so he asks for rachamim. Yetzdat, finally, we do see at a certain point, right, it gets bad enough that they say, okay, we need to ask God for help. Yetzdat kamin pisat yad velau veyave le, okay, a hand comes down from the sky and gives them chad kara de ptora de dava, a leg of a table made of gold. Now it's unclear, the different versions, and whether it's Chazya, or whether he sees in a dream or she sees in a dream. It's not unclear. The different translations is translated differently. Who sees the dream? Okay, Rashi says Dibitu, that the wife sees this in a dream. Chazya b'chalma atidei tzadikim de'ach le'aptor de'dava de'it le'tzlat kare. Right, it's there's different gersot here. V'iyu is who, v'at, he, right? It's one of them. It's unclear whether it's him or her. You'll see after when they talk about it, it's as if it related to both of them, okay, even though that's not the text here. But they see one of them, okay? It's, according to this, it's at ochelet aptur de trekare. So they see in the dream, right, according to Rashi, let's say, she sees in a dream that all the tzaddikim are sitting up in Shemaim in Olam Haba, eating on tables with three legs. And she's sitting on a table, or she and her husband, or he, or unclear who, with two legs to the table. Okay? Why three legs? Some people say, oh, it's al shloshad varim ha'olam omed, you know, and they're eating on a table that's supported by Torah, avodah, gnilu chasadim, right? Because normally a table has four legs, not three, right? So why three? But anyway, this table had three, and they only had two, because what's the story? It's obvious we had this before. They got their leg in Olam Hazeh to help them, and it really should have been reserved for Olam Haba. Right? We had all these people who said, I don't want to use up my zchuyot in Olam Hazeh because then they won't be left for me in Olam Haba. So that's basically the dream that she has. Which again, whether it's God showing her this in a dream or whether it's her conscience telling her, you know, you're using up your zchuyot, especially, it makes sense she's having the dream because she's the one who asked her husband, go ask Rachamim, and then she's having second thoughts, maybe I shouldn't have. Okay, so now, again, different nuskaot, who's talking to who? Okay, the Masoret HaShas says it should be Amar La. He says to her, after I guess she tells him the dream, if it was her dream, Nichalach temechal ach lekule ama aptura de mishalim va'anan aptura de mechasir. Is it going to be comfortable for you that everyone else is eating up there on a ptura de mishalim, a shulchan shalem, and we're going to be up there on a mechusar? So if that's the case, what should we do? We already asked for it. Can't take it back, right? Or maybe you can. By rachame delishkalinu. They asked for rachamim, that God should take it, delishkalinu minach. He should take it back. By rachame, I'm sorry. She says, ask for rachamim, that they'll take it back. By rachame, he asked for rachamim, v'shakluhu, and he takes it back. There's a bright on this Tana that says, Gadol haya nes acharon yoter min arishon. The second time when they took back the leg was more of a nes. Why? De gemiri de mehav yave mishkal lo shakle. Interesting. Miracles generally happen in one direction. You get things. You don't usually get things taken away. Which is actually similar to this analogy about the rain, right? You ask for rain, but you don't ask for God to take the rain away. It's the same thing that we said about not asking for rain to be taken away, to be stopped. Right? We can ask God to give us things, but we don't ask God to take things back.
You ask God to remove illness.
Right, but here we're... No, because that's to make things better, right? Here, we're asking to make it worse for us. You gave us something, and now take it back. God doesn't generally take back things he gives to you. Which, it's... Why is that? It's like what we talked about with the rain. Right, exactly.
Illness
is a bad thing. So there, you're asking for God to help you come out of something. But
they're asking to take them out of poverty, which is like an illness in that it's a bad thing.
Right, exactly. They're asking for help. In other words, you can ask for help, but once you ask for help, don't ask for the help that they gave you to be taken back. That's what they're asking. They're saying, take back what you gave us. You know, first of all, it makes God look like an Indian giver, right? You know, taking back what. But also, it's showing that you're kafoy tov, right? You're saying, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want your gifts. That's also a slap in God's face. You ask for rain, and then you want him to take the rain away? Like, what is that? So it's very similar to that. Okay. Chad be shimshe, chazi lebarte. Wait, what's this? Chad be shimshe?
When Friday evening at 12.
Ah, okay. So it was a Friday evening. Chazi libarte davat zivat. He sees his daughter, that she's very sad. Amar la, we're continuing with the Rabbi Chanina ben Yosef miracle stories. Biti lamayat zivat. Why are you sad? Amar le, kli shel chometz nitchalef li b'kli shel shemen. I had a kli shel shemen, but it accidentally got swapped with my kli of chometz, of vinegar. V'hidlakti mimenu or the Shabbat, and I lit my candles with vinegar and not with shemen. Amar la biti ma'ich patlach. What's the difference? Misha amar la shemen yidlok. Who yamar la chometz v'yidlok? Who decided that shemen was going to burn? God. He can decide that vinegar can burn just the same. Tana, and the Brita says about this, hayad olech v'holech kol hayom kulo ad shivim mimenu or la havdalah. Okay, it lasted all the way till havdalah time. Another miracle. Okay, again, what's the greatness of Rabbi Chanina ben Yosef? He sees God's word, he sees that God can do anything. That God is all-powerful, right? He can make chometz burn, right, which no one else can do. He recognizes that all comes from God, and because he recognizes that all comes from God, he has that power, I guess, to ask for what he wants. Rabbi Chanina ben Yosef, havala hanach ize. He had these goats. Amrule, Kamish Sadan, people said, your goats are eating our crops. Amar, I Kamish Sadan, so he says, I don't really believe that's true, but I'll tell you this. I Kamish Sadan, if they really are, Nichlinu Dube, then Dubim, bears, will come and eat them up. Vilo, and if not, Kol Chad V'chada Tete Le'orta, Duba B'Karnayu. If not, each of these Izim, are going to go and grab a dove, you know, at nighttime. They're going to go and gore, you know, or kind of poke a dove and bring a dove back on their horns. Le'orta aite kochad v'chada duba b'karnayhu. Okay, and that in fact happened and proved his innocence. Havale ahu shivivata de kabanya beite. Okay, we're going to see a little bit more about these dubim and how, but later the Gemara is going to ask, what was he doing with Izim? I thought he was so poor. So we're going to see where the Izim came from. The Havalu Shibibata, he had a neighbor, the Kabanya Beta, who was building a house, Velomate Keshure. She didn't have, she had these beams that went across the roof, but they didn't stretch the entire way from wall to wall. They were too short. And obviously, she couldn't afford to get longer ones. Atya Lakame, she goes up before him. Amrle Baniti Beiti Velo Kamatu Keshurei. And my beams, shurai is the beams, didn't reach. Matu is to reach. Amar la mashmech, amar le iku. My name is Iku. Amar iku nimtu kishurayach. Your beams should be lengthened. Okay? I don't know why he asked for her name and what the relevance of that is. I'm sure if you go into the story and try to think about it, there must be some relevance for Dafka asking her name. It reminds me, by the way, of the story with Elisha. And the woman doesn't have enough, and he says, bring all the jugs, and we'll fill them, you know, and she fills them up, and she, right, as many jugs as she can get, she keeps filling up, it's like that, whatever she had grew and grew and grew, and I don't know, it's reminding me a little bit about that. So anyway, they grow.
It makes me wonder that we don't have his wife's name. I mean, we Dafka don't have her. She calls her by Plony and Plony, we don't have his wife's name.
Well, right, he doesn't call her that, right, but somebody else calls
Gemara
her right, but we don't even,
not to give
a name, and here this woman gets a name. Interesting, right. It does seem extraneous. There must be some reason, and her name is a very strange one also. Aiku, or Iku, or something like that. Mm. I'm trying to think if there's significance to the name, but I don't know. Anyway. Tana, higiu ad shiatzu amalekan v'amalekan. Okay, so what happened? Not only did they grow, but it stuck out an amah from this direction and an amah from that direction, right? Which is right, six tefachim to an amah. It's pretty big. The yeshomrim snifim asaum. Not that they say, how did the miracle happen? There are two different approaches. One is, I guess, a little more natural, and one is a little more unnatural. To say that a beam grew is a real miracle, right? A beam doesn't grow. It can't possibly be. So one of them say it got pieces attached to it. Still in a miraculous way, but at least then it's a little bit more natural, right? Where you could kind of attach another piece to another piece, even though here it happened automatically, but they each kind of got extra parts added to it. Tanya, just let me finish the story. Pelemo Omer, Ani ra'iti oto abayit, ba'yu korotav yotzot amalekam v'amalekam. Plimu says, I saw this house, and it had, you know, really stuck out an amah from here and an amah to there. Va'amruli, and people told me, Bayit zeh shekira Rabbi Chanina ben Yosef b'tfilato. This is the house that he made the roof made the ceiling with his tefillah. Yeah, did you want to ask something?
Well, you know, I think it would be important to try to think of rational explanations for every one of these stories, only because they seem to border on magic, and they seem to border, and one could almost say about Azara, because, you know, like, there's miracles, mm-hmm. but miracles often have rational ones. Like, right. it would be nice to think that they tie beams together, and that's how, and he helped her pay for that. Like, uh-huh. That would be better right. than things that are completely unnatural, because it's troublesome a little bit that this could be so unnatural. The Jews, like, it's almost, I don't want to say witchcraft, but...
Right. Yeah, it does sound like it borders on magic, witchcraft, things like that. Again, the border between praying to God and asking for things and outright miracles happening is unclear where you put that line, right? Where that line is drawn. It reminds me, in Bracha, we learned all these Gemaras about the shading and the, right? And we talked about there that it's really a psychological explanation. That, or at least one approach was the approach I more identified with, is that these are the shading, the mezikin, are things people have in their minds that are telling them things, right? Just like these dreams. It's people's conscience. It's a psychological thing. It's not necessarily real. But then it's also how you view things. Like, do you view this as an... Sometimes things happen that are miraculous, but we view them as part of... They look natural, but we view them as miraculous, or they should be viewed as miraculous, but we kind of see them as natural events. And maybe this Gemara is trying to tell you, sometimes God's hand, in other words, that sometimes it looks to you like it's natural, but God's hand is really behind it.
There's nothing wrong with accepting miracles. I think we right. have to do that. People are miraculously cured, things right. like that. But I think that...
But to happen in such a...
No, I think it would be good to try to say that these are analogies that are just a summary, and we, like, the golden leg could
right.
be that God's giving, like, support.
Right.
Like, you know, and it'd be, like...
Right. You also have to remember, these stories are not stories that actually happen. They're stories that they're telling us to teach us a lesson. In other words, they're using stories as a way to teach us lessons about things. So, you know, again, I think the overriding message of these stories is that God is working below the surface here, and you have to see God's hand in things.
Or maybe it did happen, but not exactly literally like this. Like, maybe people got together and
I find it hard to believe that a golden thing came down from the sky. But again, right, maybe it appeared from somewhere. They got a gift from someone, or... You know, and it was as if they looked at it as if God gave them a golden leg, when really it appeared on the, yeah, they found something.
But it would be very believable, like Greek mythology. Like, these didn't happen quite this
right.
literally.
Right,
like,
exactly.
People got together to buy this woman new beans.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes. But I do think that there was this concept of certain people, and that's really what they're talking about, had more of a power for davening. Their prayers were answered better. And that's what we're going to see also today, a lot of these stories. His prayers did get answered, his prayers didn't get answered. A lot about that going on. And then also, it's somewhat being a reflection on the person himself. Like the story yesterday that you started asking me when you came about, you know, this rabbi who people were learning from, but it turns out he didn't treat his children, you know, he kind of cursed his children and ended up killing them. And that wasn't the right guy to be learning from. You know, that he might be a big Talmid Chacham, but he was missing, you know, some other aspects. So you have to also, you know, find the right people, know who to mimic, who to pray like. You know, these are all our leaders they're talking about. On the other hand, on the flip side, we learned all about the individuals, of the regular guys who maybe didn't have great powers of prayer, but because of them, cities were saved because they did small acts. And that there's all different ways, there's all different channels to get to God. You can get there this way, you can get there that way. I think a lot of it is really just how to get to God and how to... okay, so let's move on now. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa mehechan havu le'izim. So where did he get these izim from? Wasn't he so poor? V'hani havi. He was so poor. V'odamu chachamim. Not only that, but ein megadlin b'nehem adaka b'Eretz Yisrael. There's a halacha. You're not allowed to have sheep and goats and those animals in Eretz Yisrael. What's the issue? Because generally, exactly as they suspected of him, they eat other people's crops. So how could he have had izim if it's a sewer to have behemadaka in Eretz Yisrael? It's also, they say, because if you shuv Eretz Yisrael, they're going to destroy Eretz Yisrael because they're going to eat all the grass. Amar Pinchas, maseh avad adam echad, avar adam echad al petach beto. One day, a guy came to his house, v'niach sham tarnagolim, and he forgot his tarnagolim in front of his house. Umitzaatani shtosha Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and she found them. Va'amrala, and he said to her, Al tochli mi beitzehem. Don't eat their beitzim, because they don't belong to us. Someone else's tarnagol. V'hirbu beitzim v'tarnagolim. And they, right, a lot of beitzim and tarnagolim came out of it. V'ayumitzaarim otam, and they were bothering them. They had a ton of tarnagolim outside their house. It was a big annoyance. Umecharan, so they sold them. V'kana b'dmeyem izim, and they bought izim for the price of all those tarnagolim.
It's okay to sell them and not eat them?
Why? Because if you sell them, then when the guy comes back with them, you'll see in a minute, they'll give him back the izim. Okay? Pamachat avar oto adam shavdu mimenu atarnagolim. V'amar l'chaveiro, he passes by the house and he says, b'kan hinachti atarnagolim shali. Shama amar Rabbi Chanina. This is interesting, right? He doesn't come knocking at his door, but Rabbi Chanina is so on top of things, right? He's been waiting for this guy to show up to take his izim back. So he says, Amar lo, yesh lecha bahem siman. Can you give me a siman about them that would identify your tarnagolim? Amar lo hein, natan lo siman, v'natan lo tezim. V'hein hein izi da'aitu dubim b'karnayu. And these are those izim that came in and took the dubim, which number one is explaining how he had izim b'chlal. Number two, it's also explaining almost these are the miraculous izim, right? They were the ones who made this miracle happen, that they were able to get the dubim, right, to prove his innocence, because really the izim were a testament to his innocence and his purity and the fact that he kept them and was waiting for this guy to come back for them. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, now we're moving on to someone else. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, tachikale milta tuva. He was struggling, you know, financially. He had some problem, like a health problem. Abed milta, he did hakazat dam, right, where they took out the bloodletting. And he had nothing to eat after. If you remember, we talked about bloodletting, you're supposed to eat right after. And he had nothing to eat because he was struggling. He didn't have a lot of food either. Shaka bara detuma. He put a clove of garlic in his mouth. Okay, tuma is shum. Tap and shin, switch in Aramaic. Vishadi bapume, and he put it in his mouth. Chalash libe, his heart got weak. Vinim, and he fell asleep. Azo rabanan l'shiyulebe. They went to ask him a quest to see how he was doing. Chazyuhu dekabache v'chiyech. They saw him crying and smiling, like in his sleep. V'nefek tzutzita denur me'apute. And a spark of fire came out of his nose, I assume, apute, right? From his nose?
What?
Oh, mimetzcho, right. From his metzah, from his forehead. Ki etar, when he woke up, amrule, my time a kabache v'chiyachta. What happened? Why were you laughing and crying? Amar lehu, davayata bimi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'amar leh, ab matai itzar bahar alma. I had a dream that I was sitting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, you could say this is all psychological, right? And he said, how long am I going to be suffering in this world? Va'amar leh, elazar bini, nichalach da'afche la'alma meresha, efshar d'miyadi b'shata d'mezone. Do you want me to, like, turn over the world for you? And maybe, like, you can be reborn and the world can be recreated? And maybe, okay, this is the important word, Efshar, maybe, Dimit Yaladit Bashata Dimizone, you'll be born in a time of sustenance and you'll have food. Amre, Lakame, Kule Hai, the Efshar? You're going to tell me we can turn over the whole world and it's still only a possibility that I'll have food? Amrele, he says to him, Dechaye Tve O Dachyana. Before you do this, flipping over the world, I want to know, have I lived out most of my days? Am I halfway there? Right? Don't you always want to know this question, right? If you reach middle age or not? Okay, are you halfway there? Or am I more, right? Do I have more time to live or more time to die? Amrele dechayit. You already lived more than half your life. Amre lekame imken lo beina. If that's the case, don't bother. It's not worth it. Amrele bahai igra da amart lo beina for the sachar, for the fact that you said I don't want you to turn over the world for me. Yahavina lach la'alme da'ate, in the olam haba I will give you tleisre naharvata, 13 naharot, demashcha afar simon dachyan kiprat vidiglat dima anagit. Okay, what does that mean? I'm going to give you 13 naharot. Dimash Afar Simon, the shemen of the Afar Simon. We learned in the past that Afar Simon is very special, the balsam. I'm going to give you shemen from a balsam tree. Dachyan is Dalid and Zion switch. So it's Zachi, Zachyan, like clear, like Shemen Zayed Zach. Okay, very pure, clear That's going to be as clear as the Prat and the Chidekel. Diglat is the Chidekel. Okay, like the Euphrates and the Tigris. Is that how you say it? Tigris? Tigris. Dima'an gat behu, and you're going to have pleasure in them. Okay, you're going to, I guess, bathe in them, or I don't know what. Amrei lekamei, so he says to him, high but too low, that's all I'm getting. Okay, you see again the chutzpah that people had to talk to God, right? Amar li v'lechaverecha ma yahivne. If I give you more than that, what am I going to leave for everybody else? Amrei le v'ana migavra delet le be'ina. I'm asking from someone who has everything, right? In other words, I thought that I'm trying to see that in the words, and I think it's that you have the power for everything. So why are you? One second.
But I ask only the portion of the person who does not have the privilege.
Ah, right. Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
That's more than anybody else.
Yeah. Right, exactly. In other words, I want you to give me, I want you to give me from the person who doesn't have. In other words, give me from someone who wasn't going to get into Olam Haba. Give me his portion. Someone who's in Olam Haba, I don't want to take from him. But there are people who you might have saved a portion for who were supposed to go into Olam Haba and they're not. Give me their portion. So now, machyam be'askut, askut la'apute. Okay, now a malach hits him on his metzach. Okay, presumably, it is unclear exactly why. Okay, we'll see for a second. Ba'amali elazar b'rei gire bach gere. I've put my arrows through you. Okay, now some people say this is negative. Okay, because he had the chutzpah to ask God for more stuff. Right? Some people say, no, especially if you see the language, elazar b'rei, my son. Right? He's saying in a nice term. And he's saying, kudos to you, you know, and I'm giving you my, okay, some people say gerim are going to, gear about geri, geri is arrows, but here it means gerim are going to come to learn from you, which is actually, if you write a positive statement about gerim, if, you know, there's this whole argument about whether gerim are positive or negative, here you see a positive view on gerim, that gerim will come learn from you. Okay. Rabbi Chama bar Chanina gazar tanita below ate mitra. He made a fast and rain didn't come. Here they're trying to compare. Hey, but you know, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, he had powers. Why can't you do it? Amar lehu, ha ana, ha bar levi. I'm me, and he is the bar levi. So he's got more credits than I do. Amar le, dineti v'nichavin da'atan. Ifshu d'tavre tzibura libayu. Da'ate mitra. Okay, so they say, why don't you both get together, and maybe the two of you davening, you and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, will help to bring the drought to an end. Ban rachame v'lo ate mitra. The two of them together now prayed. Here you see, what do you think? God's trying to show them that don't try to compare and say, oh, he asked for rachamim. And you can't learn from just one instant. Just because he asked for rachamim once and got answered doesn't mean he's always going to get answered. It doesn't mean that that's a negative appearance on Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, and we'll see. It's not just about, this is again what we saw, it's not just about the great rabbis, but Amar lehu, nicha lechu sheyavo matar b'shvilenu. Amar lehen, okay, so now he says, maybe it's b'schutchen the rain should come. And they said, yes, we want it to come b'schutenu. Amar rekia rekia kase panacha. Okay, so then he says, sky, get covered with clouds. Lo ikase, didn't work. Amar, kama azim pene rakia. Says, wow, how hard and stubborn these skies are. Ikase ba'ate mitra. Okay, just as he was giving up, okay, how many times, right, this is like Murphy's Law, right? You're about to give up, and that, well, Murphy's Law is really the negative, but here it's like you're about to give up, and that's when the rain came. We're going to see a bunch of stories like this. Levi gazar ta'anita v'lo ate mitra. He made a fast, and no rain came. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam. Alita v'yashavta b'maron be'ena tamrachem abanecha. Ata mitra v'itla. The rain came, but he became lame. Okay? Because he had this chutzpah to talk to God like that. Amar Rabbi Elazar lo'olam al yatiach adam dvarim klepe mala. Sharei adam gadol hitiach dvarim klepe mala v'itla. And he used him as an example to say, never speak to God in that kind of way. Right? Latiach dvarim klepe mala. To say, God, can't do, why are you doing, why are you behaving like this? Umanu, and who was this? Levi. So then they say, Vaha Garmale. Manu Levi, Vaha Garmale, Vaha Garmale? Is this what caused him to be lame? V'halevi, we heard from a different story. We actually learned this, you'll remember. I assume it was in Yoma. V'halevi achva kida kameh derebi v'itla. He was doing this special bow, which was more like a yoga pose, I call it. Right? He leaned on his thumbs and bowed, like picked up his whole body off the ground, and it caused him to become lame. Okay? And here they're assuming that it was a physical act that caused him to be lame, not that it was a punishment from God. So what do they say? Hava ha garmale. And this reminds us of the story where they were standing next to the wall that was about to fall down, Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa, and the angel said, let's make the wall fall down here, because when someone puts themselves in a dangerous situation, they're asking for God to come and strike them. Right? In other words, it gives God the opportunity to come in and give him his punishment. So he was doing this, I'll call it yoga pose, right? This bowing pose that was dangerous, and that's when he got punished for what he had said to God earlier. Rabbi Chiya bar Luliani, Shaminu lahanach anane de ka'amre. Okay, he heard the ananim talking to each other. Nechu v'nitve maya ba'amonu moav. Let's bring rain in Amonu Moav. Amar lefanav, he says to him, again, we're going to see, right? Mishu shemetiach v'rim klape mala. Ribono shalom, kshenatata Torah lamcha Yisrael, chazarta al kol moto olam v'lo kiblua. Right, you went to all the other nations when you brought the Torah, and nobody wanted it. V'achshav ata noten lehem matar, now you're going to give them rain? Shadu hacha, shadu aduchte. Okay, and basically the clouds moved, and they got moved onto Eretz Yisrael. Darash Rabbi Chiya bar Luliani, the same guy made a drasha. Mai dechtiv tzadik katamar yifrach, ke'erez bavano yiske. Im ne'emar tamar, lama ne'emar erez. Im ne'emar erez, lama ne'emar tamar. Why does it say erez and tamar? Ilu ne'emar tamar, velo ne'emar erez, hayiti omer. Ma tamar engiz o machlif, af tzadik, chas v'shalom, engiz o machlif. You might have thought that just like tamar, that the once you cut it down, it doesn't recreate itself. A tzaddik also, maybe you would think that once he gets destroyed, he can't recreate himself. L'chach ne'emar erez. Therefore, it teaches us about an erez. We're going to have a problem, because erez, by the way, we said earlier that an erez ain't gizo machlif. Okay, we're going to ask that. Although they're not going to ask it from our Gemara, but they're going to ask it, but right, we compared it to a reed, that a reed gizo machlif and not an erez. But anyway, here they assume an erez. Ilu ne'emar erez v'lo ne'emar tamar hayiti omer. Ma erez eno seperot, and erez isn't a fruit tree. Af tzadik chas v'shalom eno seperot. Now this you can explain in all different ways. What does it mean, eno seperot? He won't have children, he won't have a legacy, he won't have, okay, all that. L'chach ne'emar tamar v'ne'emar erez. Okay, and therefore it says both to say, number one, his geza can be machlif, and his oseperot. So now they say, v'erez geza o machlif. By the way, we've gone on a tangent here just because we talked about this Rabbi Chiya bar Luliani, who asked for God for something, a little bit chutzpahdik, however God answered. And now, it's just another drasha he's saying about tzaddikim. So now they say, Erez gizom achlif, ha-tanya halokech ilam mechaverot lakutz. If you buy a tree from a friend to chop down for wood, magbihom en akarka tefach, you have to leave a tefach still in the ground. Bekotzetz, v'kotzeitz, okay? In other words, you leave it, you start a tefach off the ground. Why? Because the assumption is that you're just buying the wood from the tree, and then the owner gets to keep the tree itself, and it'll regrow. B'sadana shikma, shnei tefachim. B'betulata shikma, shlosha tefachim. Okay, different trees are different lengths of how long he needs to leave. B'kanim u'kvanim min apkak u'lamala. B'tekalim u'barazim, and here's the important one. For the dekel tree, which is what we're talking about, the tamar, chofer lamata umashrish, lefi she'en gizo machlif. Okay, what does it tell us? Sorry, the dekel and the erez. Okay, both the tzadik ha-tamar, which is the dekel tree, and the erez, both of them, en gizo machlif. So if you buy it just for the wood, they know that once you chop that tree, this tree isn't going to regrow. So you can go all the way down to the ground and dump, you know, even get rid of the shorashim, because you basically have bought the entire tree. So what do they say? There's different types of erez trees. Some are gizo machlif and some aren't. Okay, there's 10 types of erezim. We've actually seen this before. In Rosh Hashanah it comes up, in Sukkah it comes up. And there's different ones. And some gizo machlif and some ain't gizo machlif. Okay, back to our stories. Tana Rabbanan, Maaseh b'Rabbi Eliezer, shegazar 13 ta'aniyot al ha'tzibur v'lo yardug shamim. Okay, he made 13 fasts, that's the 3, the 3, and the 7. Okay, and no rain came. Ba'achrona, hitchilu hatzibur latzeit. The people started to leave on the last day. Amar lehem, takantim kvarim la'atzmachem. You know, have you now, right? You know, he's kind of criticizing them, I think, that you obviously didn't do a good job. You might have fasted, but something was missing because you basically dug your graves for yourself. Okay? It was almost at that moment, right? It only hits them at that moment. At that moment, it hit them. Oh my God, we really didn't do this right. And I guess they did some sort of inner tshuva at that moment, and the rain came. Shuv ma'aseh b'Rabbi Eliezer, she'yarad lefnei ha'teva. Okay, well, this, like I said before, we're going to see these stories where at the very last moment the rain comes, right when everyone's giving up. Yarad lefnei ha'teva, v'amar esrim v'arba brachot. Okay, he davened for the Amud, and he davened these 24 brachot that we learned about. V'lo na'ana. Yarad Rabbi Akiva achara, v'amar. Avinu makenu ein lanu melech el atar. You're the only one. Avinu makenu l'man karachem aleinu. Do it for your sake. V'yardu g'shamim. Havu murana ne'rabanan. They were making a big deal about this. Oh, look, Rabbi Akiva got answered. Rabbi Eliezer didn't get answered. This is Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. He's the famous one with Tanurosh al-Achnai, where the Bakol came down and said the halacha is lakim, and all the rabbis disagreed with him. And even though the Bakol came down, we said halacha like the Chachamim, and he still kept in his ways, and basically he ended up getting excommunicated. Clearly he had some things with the rabbis, and here they say, look, oh, he didn't get answered, and Rabbi Akiva did. Yatzta bat kol v'amra, lo mipnei shezeh gadol mizeh. This goes back to the story of yesterday also. Think about the Kana'i attitude. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus wasn't good at forgiving. And Rabbi Akiva was good at forgiving and moving on. La'avirom midotav means you forgive and you move on. And he wasn't. And that's why his prayers got answered. Not because he was any greater than him, although it's interesting because he is great. And the point is he is greater than him in this aspect. But not that he's a greater... Again, I don't know what it means, not that he's greater, but he had this one flaw, and that one flaw prevented him. Also, if we learned in the past that if you're ma'avir midotav, then Hashem forgives you. And here, what do we ask him when we fast? For forgiveness. So he didn't have the koach to ask for forgiveness because he wasn't good at forgiving, right? That's the whole issue. You have to be good at forgiving if you want others to forgive you. Tana Ramadan. Am matai yuag shamim yordim vatzibor poskim mita anitam. What if it starts to rain, right? We talked about, you're in the middle of fasting, and it starts to rain. And we talked about at what point you stop your fast, what time of day. We'll get into that at the end. But now they want to know how much rain has to fall. Just a few drops come down, that's not enough to stop your fast. How much rain has to fall for you to say, okay, now we don't need to fast anymore. So now we're going to see a machloket. Kimalo berach ha-machresha. That's where there's a picture there of what a machresha is. A machresha was a tool they used for plowing. Okay? You'll see it in the picture in a minute. In the Koran, there's a nice picture. Okay? Now, what is this is what they use for plowing, this digging tool. Okay? It's kind of like an L-shaped thing or more like a chafsofit. Okay? And you would dig this part into the ground. So now there's a question. What does it mean? What's the depth here? Is the depth of the tool? How the tool has that, the smaller part of the chaf. You can turn around now. That's fine. The smaller part of the chaf, that's the depth. Or the depth that you actually dig into the ground when you plow. Okay, it has to go down that amount of depth of water collected. Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim omrim, Chachamim have certain type of answer, where they say it depends on what type of dirt you're talking about. Okay? Becharava, if it's very dry soil, then it has to go down a tefach. If it's bebenonit, tfachim, two tfachim, because right, it takes a lot longer for rain to go more than a tefach if the ground is dry. If the ground is benonit, it goes down two. Ba'avudah, if you already worked the ground and it's been plowed already, then shlosha tfachim, then it goes down much quicker and it seeps down. So then you measure three tfachim down. If the water got down three tfachim, then that's fine. Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, ein lecha tefach milamala, she'ein tahom yotzei lekratos shlosha tefachim. Okay, I admit I don't exactly know what this is connected to in terms of our issue or if it is at all, but they're explaining here about the waters come from above and waters come from below. So if you have a tefach milamala, the waters from the depths underneath the ground, right? Underneath the ground there's water. The water from underneath the ground comes up three tefachim. Okay? To meet the waters that come from up above. V'hatanya tfachim. Doesn't it say in a braita that it comes up two tfachim? They say, no, lokashe kamba avuda, kamba she'en avuda. They answer the same. It depends on how worked the soil was. If it was very worked, then it'll come up 3 tefachim. If it wasn't so work, then it only comes up 2 tefachim. Amar Rabbi Elazar, and here also a statement that's sort of not connected to this. Kishem minaschim etamayim, but it has to do with waters from above and waters from below. Kishem minaschim etamayim b'chag, and we have the nisuch hamayim and the nisuch hayayim. Remember the libations, they pour the water and the wine. Normally we have wine, and on Sukkot we have water also because of the rain. Kishem minaschim etamayim b'chag, tehom omer l'chavero, okay? Each, right, the waters from above and the waters from below speak to each other. Abba me'mecha. They speak to each other and they say, you come up and you come down, and they kind of have this communication. Some people explain that it's the two nisuchim, the mayim and the yayin, like talking to each other. They're representative of the tahom milamala and the tahom milamata. Amar Rabba, l'didi chazili hai ridya. I saw the angel that brings water, and this is what he looks like. Dame le'igla upirsa svavate. He looks like an eagle, and he's smiling, like his lips are, and his lips are parted, I think. V'kaima ben tahoma tata l'tahoma ilai, and he's standing in between the two tomot. L'tahoma ilai amarle chashur me'mecha. L'tahoma tata amarle abba me'mecha, sh'nemar nisanim niru ba'aretz. He speaks to each of them. To the top one he says, let your rains come down, and to the bottom one he says, let your rains come up. Okay, what they're trying to show, it goes back to those Gemaras about, is the rain coming from above, is it coming from below? And it's kind of merging them and saying, right, there's two things going on here, from above and from below. I don't know exactly what to make of it. Okay, now we're getting to the timing. What time of day? Now we're going to learn here that it didn't have to do only with, okay, did we pass half day or not? But it has to do with when they ate. In those days, they ate 2 meals a day. Okay? There is a Mishnah that talks about, is it, or a Braita that talks about in Pesachim, what time of day they ate. The Po'alim eat at 10, and the other people eat at 11, and then, or the Talmidei Chachamim eat at 12. And then the B'nai Melachim eat at 9 hours into the day, okay? Which would be like 3 o'clock on average day. So now, what do they say? Hayu mitanim v'yardu k'shamim kodem anetzachama. Tana Rabbanan. Hayu mitanim v'yardu lem k'shamim kodem anetzachama lo yashlimu. They don't need to fast. Why? Because the fast didn't even start yet, right? Lachar netzachama yashlimu. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer kodem chatzot la yashlimu. Lachar chatzot yashlimu. It could be the fast technically started, but they didn't normally eat till chatzot. Like the average person ate a chatzot, or the Talmidei Chachamim ate a chatzot. So let's go based on that time. Rabbi Yossi omer kodem tesha shot lo yashlimu. Lachar tesha shot yashlimu. Shekem matzinu b'achav melech Yisrael shitaneh mitesha shot ulamala. Shneamar. Now here they're going to bring a pasuk which doesn't exactly prove this, but it's a pasuk that shows that Ahav had fasted, okay? But it doesn't show exactly when he fasted. There's different proofs they try to bring to how do we know that it was afternoon when he started to fast, and they have this assumption here also about the kings having eaten, that they eat their meals much later in the day. Also we have the B'nai Melachim wake up late, and that's why we can say Kriyat Shema as late as 3 hours into the day, because of the lazy B'nai Melachim who sleep much, woke up much earlier than the lazy people in our generation who aren't necessarily up at 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Achav mel Yisrael shitaneh mitesha shor ulamala shenemar haraita ki nechna achav. Okay, the pasuk continues. And in other words, Achav, after he does this whole thing with Kerem Navod and he steals the Kerem, and then he basically is chozer b'tshuvah somewhat, and he makes a fast and all that. So they say, some people say it happened in the same day as Navot. So obviously it must have been afternoon by the time he decided to fast. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Nesia Gazer Ta'anit Yadu Lahem Shamim La'achar HaNetzach Hama. Okay, so now we're here seeing a case that happened with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He's the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He made a fast. The rain comes down after Netzach Hama. Savur Lash Laminu, he thought, oh, we should finish our fast. Amrle Rabbi Ami, Kodem Chatzot Achar Chatzot Shaninu. We talked about before and after Chatzot, so you don't have to finish the fast. That's how we pass it. Okay, now we're going to see two stories of Shmuel HaKatan, and we're going to end here. Shmuel HaKatan Gazar Ta'anit Yardu Lahem Gshamim Kodem HaNetzach Hama. Okay, he made a fast, and lo and behold, before Netzach Hama, it started to rain. Kisfurin ha'am lemor shivcho shel tziborhu. The people said, look how great we are. We made this fast. We don't even have to fast. God answered us before we even fasted. Amar lahem, Shmuel HaKatan said, don't get so excited. Emsho lachem mashal, lama hadabar dome, le'eved shemavakesh pras mirabo. Right? It's like an eved who goes to say, can you give me, right? How do you, right? You have this with your kids, right? Give me this, give me that. Amar lahem. So what does God say? Tnulo ba'alash makolo. I don't want to hear him whining. I'm just going to give it to him so I don't have to hear him complaining to me. Okay? It was like God was saying, I don't want your tefillot, basically. Okay? You're annoying. You know, it's just annoying to hear your tefillot. I'd rather, let me just give it to you so I don't have to go through that. Shuv Shmuel HaKatan Gezar Tanit. Another time it happened. V'yardu lahem kshamim la'achar shkiat ha'chama. At the end of the day. So, they said, Kisperu ma'am lamar. Shuv choshel tziborhu. Right? This is, look. Didn't happen before. He let us daven. All the more so. Amar lahem Shmuel lo. Lo shevach shol tziborhu. Don't get so excited. This is not a good sign. Elem sholach ha'mashal lama davar domeh. Le'evet shem avkesh pras me'rabo. V'amar lahem hamtinu lo ad shiit makmek v'yitzta'er. Let him really suffer. I want to see him really, really suffer, then I'll give it to him. It's like God knew he was going to give it to him, but he waited. That's sort of like those stories we saw before, where they waited till the very last moment when people were just giving up hope and realized, oh, wow, this is really bad, and then they got answered. That's not a good sign. So then they asked, so tell them, like, what is the case where you pray and your prayers get answered and that's a good sign, that the people are in a good place? Amar Mashiva Ruach Vinashav Zika. Amar Murida Geshem Ba'atu Mitra. If at the exact moment you say Mashiva Ruach, the wind comes, then you know your prayers are answered. That's the ideal. You say Murida Geshem and down comes the rain. Okay, with that.
We had a story that did indeed happen.
Yes, there were stories where that indeed happened. Yes, we saw stories where somebody prayed. Yes, and it exactly happened exactly at that moment, and they're saying that is the ideal moment where it shows God's connection. And again, this is his approach. It doesn't necessarily mean it's everybody's approach, but again, you could say that his approach is, it's again, we have no idea what God is thinking, right? But what do the rabbis want to do? They want to get people to take something with them with it, right? They want to say, when that happens, right, and you feel like, wow, we prayed and God answered, you get a little bit arrogant about it. And he doesn't want people to get arrogant and think, oh, I'm so great. So he leaves it to this one minor case, right? If it happens exactly, then you can assume. But otherwise, yeah, you still have ways to go. It's really about God doing it for his own sake and not necessarily because you're so worried.